This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day and a wonderful day to be in this time of worship together. And it's my joy to welcome you, whether you're joining us online or here in the sanctuary, especially if you're visiting with us for the very first time. We welcome you. We hope that you feel welcomed in this place, that you've had a chance to meet some of the folks sitting around you, and that you feel the Spirit of Christ moving among us. I have a few announcements to share as we gather. First of all, as always, we ask everyone, whether you're online or in person, to take a moment and register your attendance. There are registration pads at the end of each row here in the sanctuary. There's also a QR code in the bulletin you can scan to register digitally. And online, there's a link to place in your browser to let us know that you're here. We really do pay attention to that. And especially if you're new and visiting and looking for a place to call your church home, we encourage you to share an email address, a phone number, a mailing address, and give us the opportunity to reach out to you in the days ahead. We are kicking off a lot of things this time of year. We had a wonderful time with Promotion Sunday downstairs earlier today. Tonight, our youth ministry is kicking off their fall programming with the Eggstravaganza. You can ask me more about that later. But that will be from 4:45 to 7 p.m. It is off-site at the home of some of our church members. So if you need to know that address, just let me or one of the staff know, and we'll get you that address. There are other information in the bulletin. Also, our children's choirs are starting up this Wednesday, August 21st, and there's information about that in the bulletin as well. We're excited about the kids who are signing up to participate in that ministry this year. Finally, as you leave worship today, there will be some folks, Pastor Amy Baxter and some other folks connected with our Wesley Foundation at Vanderbilt, handing out prayer cards with a prayer for our students as our elementary school age kids, our middle and high school kids are coming back to town and coming back to their routines. So are our college and graduate students. And so we want to be in prayer for them as well. So they'll be handing you a card as you go out, and we ask you commit to pray for them and all students, teachers, administrators, as we move into this school year. We are continuing a sermon series on Sabbath rest and God's invitation to us to be people who not only work and live out our gifts, but also take time for rest and time with God. May this be a time of Sabbath rest, a time with God for all of us as we worship together.
Oh. Please join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Calling all children of the living God, the gospel is good news for every age and every stage. Let us worship together, the young and the old. The good news is proclaimed in God's words and also with work, play, and rest. Let us worship together, every generation. All are welcome in the arms of Christ who proclaimed, "Let the children come." Let us worship together with our family of faith, trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting. Let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. God of all generations, we gather this morning with hearts full of feelings, with our minds full of thoughts, and with our never-ending to-do list. The world around us sends us messages of, "You are what you produce. Go and do, and hurry up." You call us to a better way, a rhythm of work and rest. Forgive us when we hold ourselves and others to the standards of busyness and productivity. Help us to breathe. Help us to resist. Help us to return to your grace of rest and offer peace to those around us. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. If you'd like to read along, please turn to page 52 in the Old Testament of your pew Bible or page 72 in the Story Bible. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to the Pharaoh and said, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, so that they may celebrate a festival to me in the wilderness." But the Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should listen to him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has revealed himself to us. Let us go to a 3-day journey into the wilderness to sacrifice to the Lord our God, or he will fall upon us with pestilence or sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their work? Get to your labors." Pharaoh continued, "Now they are more numerous than the people of the land, and yet you want them to stop working?" That same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people, as well as their supervisors, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But you shall require them to the same quantity of bricks as they have made previously. Do not diminish it, for they are lazy. That is why they cry, 'Oh, let us go and sacrifice to our Lord.' Let heavier work be laid on them, then they will labor at it. Pay no attention to their deceptive words." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
seated, and I want to invite any kids to come forward to bring their backpacks to be blessed, or just to come forward and join us, or if there's anybody else who wants to bring their backpack to be blessed. Come on up. Hello. So today is the day that we celebrate the beginning of the year here at church. How many of you have already started school? Raise your hand if you've already started school. Yeah. But today's the day we celebrate the beginning of the school year here at church. And we want to pray for everybody who is getting ready for this new school year. And going back to school comes with, you know, lots of feelings, right? Some of those big feelings might be different. You might feel excited. You might be happy. You might also be nervous or scared. You might be curious or annoyed because you don't want to go back to school. You'd rather it still be summertime. And all kinds of different emotions, lots of different feelings this time of year. And you might even feel all of them at the same time. And that's okay because God goes with us. God goes with us wherever we go. God is always with us and God loves us. And in just a few minutes, Pastor Carol and I are going to give you a backpack tag to hang in your room or put on your backpack to bless your backpack and to bless you this year and to remind you that God is with you and that God loves you and that this church loves you and is praying for you too. And this year, the backpack tags, every year they've got something new on them. Anybody have a guess what this year's might be? Ooh. Yeah. Forgot. That's okay. You know what? This year, they say, be curious. Ask questions. What does the word curious mean? Yeah, Martha. It means you really, really want to know something. Yes. You really want to know something. And it's something that you don't already know. And so you want to ask a question and find out what it is. It means you want to learn and grow. And that's a good thing. Who here has lots of questions? Anybody out there have lots of questions? Yes, we all have questions, and God loves our questions. So God wants us to be curious, and so we're inviting you to be curious and to ask questions, but to ask our questions with kindness and love, and so that we can help learn and grow and do better. And we show that we care and that we want to learn from other people and want to learn something new. So when you see your tag this year, you can remember to be curious and ask questions with kindness. And you can remember that you are loved and prayed for by this congregation and that you are most especially loved by God. So we're going to offer a blessing for everybody this time of year, all of our students, preschool, elementary, middle, high school, college, and beyond, for teachers, administrators, staff, parents, grandparents, everybody who's got a role to play in going back to school, which is quite a lot of us. It's a big time for all of us this time of year. So we're going to pray together, and I'm going to invite you and the whole congregation to repeat after me for this blessing. So can you lift your hands like this, like we're offering a blessing to everyone? Good. All right, and repeat after me. God of new beginnings,
we bring ourselves
and our big feelings
before you.
The world around us
keeps changing.
And always God.
You are our friend.
You comfort us.
And hold us close.
You celebrate with us.
And you are with us.
When we are afraid.
Bless us this year, God.
May we be filled with curiosity.
With kindness and love.
For ourselves.
And everyone around us.
Bless all the teachers and staff.
Families and students.
May they know your love.
And the love of this church.
May we all go play,
go learn,
and go love others.
In your name.
Amen. Thanks, friends. Pastor Shannon and Pastor Carol and I are going to pass out backpack tags. And then if you are 3, 4, 5, or in kindergarten, you can come with me to children's church. Everybody else can go sit with their parents or grandparents.
So kids and students and families and teachers and administrators are going back to school. A lot of us are heading back into the routines of the fall and all of the excitement that comes with that. At the same time, I am heading into a different kind of season. As many of you know, I am going to be taking a 3-month renewal leave starting on September 1st. So I'm heading into a season that I hope will be less busy and less scheduled, and a little bit of a season of rest. They're called sabbaticals because they come from the word Sabbath. And a Sabbath is a time when we put down our work and we make time and space for rest and for connecting with God. And it's because of this season that I'm entering into that I wanted to take a few weeks in August to walk with you through this notion of Sabbath and the biblical traditions of Sabbath and how it is an invitation to us, even a commandment. If you were here last week, we heard that the fourth of the Ten Commandments is keep the Sabbath holy. It is an invitation, a commandment, a pattern of life that God invites God's people into, this rhythm of work and rest, work and rest. So last week, we looked at the story of creation as it's told in the first chapter of Genesis, and we saw how God created the world in 6 days, 6 stanzas of a poem, you might say, and then on the 7th day, God stopped working, stopped creating, stopped producing, and rested and enjoyed all of the things that God had created, setting the pattern for humankind, even for the animals, and as we talked a little bit about, even for the land, to live with this pattern of creating and producing and working and also resting and resting in God. We also looked at that fourth commandment as a way of God shaping God's people into this practice. And so as we consider, as the people of God, what Sabbath practice looks like in our own lives, whether it's the ability actually to take a full day a week or if it's a different kind of rhythm of rest and work, I'd like to invite you to think about today, what are the things that keep you from resting? What are those voices in your head, those influences in your life, those forces or systems at work in our world that keep us or others from resting? And to sort of dig into that question, I want us to hear this story from the 5th chapter of Exodus. Now, this was not my idea to connect the idea of Sabbath with this story. I got it from a book by Walter Brueggemann called Sabbath as Resistance. It's a fabulous book. I encourage you to read it, especially if you can read it over these next couple of weeks. But in that book, he points to Pharaoh as sort of the embodiment of this production culture, this idea that we are only as good as what we can produce, and the primacy of the bottom line. And so as we dig into this story, I want us to think about Pharaoh's economy and how it connects with so much of our experience in the world. So we get to this place in the book of Exodus. If you don't quite know where we are in the arc of the biblical story, let me briefly catch us up a little bit. First book of the Bible is the book of Genesis. It ends with Jacob and his children and grandchildren, their little family tribe, about to travel to Egypt, or having traveled to Egypt. Jacob, who's given the name Israel, is the ancestor of the Israelites, the Hebrew people. This is a people that God chose to bless so that they would be a blessing to the world. to follow the way of life laid out by God as a sign to the world of who God is and what it looks like to live in relationship, right relationship with God and one another. So Jacob and his little clan are living in the promised land of Israel, but a famine emerges. And so they migrate to Egypt for a time. Now, one of Jacob's sons is Joseph. You know the story, Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, right? Joseph lives in Egypt, is the right-hand man of the Pharaoh. And so Jacob and his family move to Egypt at the invitation of Joseph and at the invitation of the Pharaoh. There's a famine in your land. We have plenty in Egypt, thanks to Joseph's good planning. Come and settle here. And so they do. And all is well until you turn the page and the book of Exodus begins. Because at that point, time has passed. The clan of Jacob is now a multitude, a people, the Hebrew people. And there's a different Pharaoh on the throne. And he is driven by power and paranoia and only looking for his own glory. And he looks at the Hebrew people and sees how numerous they are, and he is immediately suspicious and fearful of them. And he begins to sow that fear and suspicion among his people. Look at them, he says. They're so numerous. If our enemies attack us, they will join them and rebel against us. We have to tamp down on them. We have to control them. We have to oppress them and keep them in line. And so he enslaves them. He puts them to work making bricks, hard labor, making bricks to build monuments to his glory, because Pharaoh thinks of himself as a god. The people moan and groan and cry out under the heavy burden of their labors, and God hears their cries and meets Moses in the wilderness and calls him and his brother Aaron to be his spokesman, to go to Pharaoh and demand that Pharaoh set the people free. So this text that we've just heard is the first confrontation between Moses and Aaron and Pharaoh. And as you know, it doesn't go well. Moses and Aaron come and say, "We have heard a word from our God. Our God says to you, 'Let my people go so that they may worship me. Let my people lay down their work so that they can spend some time with me,' says the Lord." The Hebrew is actually stronger than the translation. I know, "Let my people go," we all hear Charlton Heston saying those lines. But the Hebrew is actually more commanding. "Send my people," says the Lord. And Pharaoh recognizes right away this is a challenge to his power and authority and his status as divine. And of course he says, "No, I don't know this God. I will not let the people go." And he has several reasons for that. One of them is that if he acknowledges that there is this God, if he allows the Hebrew people to go and worship this God, he's basically admitting that God has primacy over him in the Hebrew people's eyes, that their allegiance ultimately is not to him, but to God, and he will have none of that. Not to mention the fact that if he lets them go into the wilderness, a 3 days journey and back, he's going to lose 2 weeks worth of production of bricks. I mean, that's hitting the bottom line. So, no, he says. They continue this back and forth. And what I'd like to do is just highlight a few of the things that Pharaoh says so we can recognize the voice of Pharaoh and how it still speaks in our day and tries to keep us down. One of the things that Pharaoh says is, "Moses and Aaron, why are you separating the people from their work?" Because you see, in Pharaoh's economy, the people are their work. They're just workers. Their only worth is how many bricks they can produce. So of course they're not going into the wilderness, because then they won't be producing, they won't be working. But God's economy is very different. As we saw last week in the creation story, God sees every human being as created in the image of God. And God has looked at the earth and all that was created at the end of the sixth day and pronounced it all very good. So before a human being ever did a day of work or produced or built anything, God already declared us very good. In God's economy, our worth is found in God and God alone. In Pharaoh's economy, it's in work and work alone. So I wonder how in our day we are so intertwined with our work that we forget who we are in God. Whether this is a paying job or the work that we do for our families or caregiving, whatever it may be, if you're like me, you can get so caught up in that identity and that doing that you begin to think my worth is only in what I do, what I achieve, my successes. And unless I'm succeeding, unless I'm doing, I'm not worthy. So Pharaoh does not want to separate the people from their work, but God does. And the regular practice of Sabbath in our lives is one of those things that can help remind us who we are and whose we are, that we are not our work. Sure, our work is an outgrowth of our gifts and what we're called to do in the world, but when it comes down to it, at the foundation of who we are is the God who loves us beyond measure and tells us who we are. Another thing that Pharaoh says, and this one jumped out at me from the page, like in all caps, in the verses following what we've heard, he says it twice. The people are lazy, lazy. That is why they want to go into the wilderness to worship, because they don't want to work. Does that voice sound familiar? If I take a day off, if I don't check my email on Saturdays, if I don't respond to this text within 24 hours, somebody's going to think I'm lazy. There's somebody out there who's going to accuse me of being lazy. A true confession. So many of you know my day off, the Sabbath day for me that I try to practice is Thursdays. And when my kids were still living at home, still in school, there were days, Thursdays, when I would be reading on the couch in the afternoon or maybe watching a movie or something, and I would hear the garage door going up, one of my kids is home, pop up off the couch, turn off the TV, go in the kitchen and start grating carrots. Like, oh no, I'm not resting. I'm working, I'm doing, I'm making dinner for you. Isn't that awful? As if it's not a good example to set for my children that I need rest. And that rest is good for us. Do you feel that pressure too? Like, I gotta always be busy, I gotta always be doing, because someone might think I'm lazy. Well, Pharaoh certainly used that. And that's a tool that many in power and many oppressive systems have also used, is calling people lazy to keep them working, to keep the nose to the grindstone. Because heaven forbid someone think we're lazy. But God knows better than that. God rested on the seventh day. And if God can rest, why can't we? Pharaoh responds to this request from Moses and Aaron by doing what oppressive leaders and systems often do. If the people ask for a little more freedom, if the people ask for fairness, life gets harder. We're going to oppress them even more. And he says, because you've asked for this, Moses and Aaron, I'm going to make the people work twice as hard. We used to provide their straw, but no longer. Now you're going to have to get your own straw and make the same amount of bricks. See how that feels. And so the people's burden gets heavier and they get even more exhausted. And Pharaoh says at the end of our text, see, if we keep the people working really hard and busy all the time, they won't pay attention to these deceptive words. For him, Moses and Aaron are speaking deceptive words, that there is a God who values you beyond your work. Basically, he's saying, if we keep the people so busy and so preoccupied, they won't have time for their God. Ouch. They'll be too distracted, too exhausted. They won't even look up to pay attention to God. This one really got to me, too. Not quite the all caps as the other one. But I think about the many ways that Our technology helps us, but also hurts us. On the one hand, it helps us. It's a tool. It's there for our use. It's helped great things in the medical community and all those things. And true confession, where's Matt? He's coming. Oh, he's over there. So we were planning this worship service, and we were looking for a middle hymn. They don't get a middle hymn at 8:45, but you guys get a middle hymn. And we're like, is there a hymn about this story? And Matt and I are sitting in my office. He's got his laptop, and he's like, just let me check something. And he types, and he comes out with this hymn that we just sang, ChatGPT. It was produced, pulled together in 5 seconds by AI. However, Matt did edit it, so I'm calling it MattGPT. The choir thought that was funny. But it was a tool, it was helpful, and it was a pretty good retelling of the story. Theologically sound, it's a little odd that it was produced by a computer-generated thing. But those things are helping us make advances in lots of ways, and yet at the same time, our technology does not want us to rest. We can always access our emails. We can always get our texts. We're always seeing on social media this and that to grab our attention. The algorithms are designed to keep our attention. So if we are always distracted, if we're always in that work mode, always available, how are we paying attention to the movement of the Spirit in our lives? I'm preaching to myself more than anyone else this morning, and it's a question I leave with you. You can see then how the practice of Sabbath is a practice that resists the voice of Pharaoh, that resists the oppressive systems that would keep people working and working and not worshiping and resting and being grounded in their worth through God. So there's an invitation. There's even a commandment to the people of God to practice the Sabbath. So I invite you to consider, if you don't already have a regular practice of rest, of renewal, of resting in God's presence, to pray about how that might fit into this new routine as we're all beginning a new school year. It just might be that this practice could bless the world. God wanted the Jewish people to keep the Sabbath as a sign of God's goodness and blessing in the world. And if we, the people of God, can continue these practices of rest and renewal and worship, it could be that the world could look upon us and say, Pharaoh is not God. Who is this God?
As we continue in worship, we respond to God's word spoken before us by standing together in body and spirit. Please join me as we profess our faith with the affirmation of faith as printed in your bulletin. And as a reminder, we have now included an update to the statement, and it is printed in green. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I want to remind you that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them aloud or not. And if you'd like to share your prayer requests with the pastoral team to be prayed for throughout the week, there are prayer cards in the racks in front of you in the pews. You can place those in the offering plates as they are passed. If you're joining us online or you're at home this week and have a prayer request that you want to send to us, check out the Contact Us portion of our website and you can send that to us. I'd like to encourage you to take note of the prayer requests that are in your bulletin. Please take that home with you this week and spend some time in prayer for those in our church family and in our community. We'd like to lift up a few concerns before you that we want to ask for your special prayers. We lift up Susan, Trey, Mary Frances, and Maggie Harrell as they mourn the death of Susan's father, Aubrey Byron Campbell, who passed away in Mount Juliet, Tennessee on August 9th. And then we lift up Alan and Gretchen Horner and their family as they mourn the death of Alan's brother, Mark Horner, who passed away last weekend in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord of all creation, we give thanks today for your call to come and rest, the call to be renewed, the call to renew others. In rest, Lord, you invite us into your peace. As we take this day to recall your mighty deeds, we remember the care you give to all people. You express to all a grace that never ends, a grace that invites us not to be productive in work, but a grace that invites us to be with you, and to be with ourselves as you have created us, caring for ourselves as well as the needs of those around us is part of the call to the abundant life that you lead us to. And it's in the knowledge of your love that is offered to us without price, is offered to us without end, that we come to you now to lay before you our lives and the cares of our hearts. There's so much that surrounds us and inundates us each day. We see the needs of the world, and we ask for your presence with those who are experiencing grief, trauma, heartbreak, terror, and fear. For those who are living in the midst of war or conflict, we ask for your wisdom to prevail and for peace to come to fruition. And for the needs of our neighbors in the Nashville and surrounding community, Lord, hear our prayer. For all things that sit upon our hearts, the joys, the difficulties, we offer them to you in the knowledge that you offer your grace in all situations. As we receive the gift of your grace today, remind us of our belovedness in your sight. And as we join together in prayer, in the prayer that you taught us to pray, we pray in unity both here and around the world with all of your saints. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I now invite us to give our gifts to God. Let us gather them together and offer them in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options on the screen. And those here in the pews, we will be passing plates down the aisles, and you can also use the QR code that's printed in the bulletin to give digitally. As we pass the plates down the row to one another, let us remember that God multiplies our gifts in many ways. Today, may we give with joy to God.
are God's people, and the journey is our home. As we go forth to continue the journey, may we be grateful for this time of Sabbath worship and rest. May we be nourished by the love of God who calls us beautiful and worthy. And may we go forth to live in the world in such a way that people will know that God is God and Pharaoh is not. Go in peace. Amen.